We're continuing this morning in our lesson series, Stay on Course. It's from the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. We're in lesson number 6. And this lesson, for those listening on the internet this morning, will be for Sunday morning, August the 29th. All right, that's today. Amen. Last Sunday in the month of August. Hard to believe. My goodness, it seemed like we just got the month started. And now we're all the way at the end of it. Today's lesson is entitled, See You On Down the Road. See You On Down the Road. And our theme verse today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Here the Bible said, Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now today, I want to sum this lesson up in this just one little statement. And it's this, for you and I as Christians, it's not time to get discouraged. It's not time to get worried about all the things that we're seeing going on around. These are fulfillment of what Jesus said was going to happen in the latter days. And you know, he said that all of these things must come to pass. And we're watching. We are literally watching these things come to pass in our world today. That's why we got to stay busy telling folks about Christ. That's why we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. And that's why I want to say today, keep looking up, for our redemption draweth nigh. The day is coming when the Lord Jesus is coming back. And buddy, I'm going to tell you, the song that we sang this morning, what a day. I was in the shower this morning singing, what a day that will be when my Jesus I will see. I don't know what happened last night. I've been on this breathing machine, and I have to do this thing 4 hours a night. And I remember getting in last night and playing with the dog. I took her out for a little bit and got in a little late. Brother Roy Lester and I went to go see the Washington Redskins. Well, it's not the Redskins anymore. It's just the Washingtons, right? The Washington football players get played by the Baltimore Ravens last night. And they played last night. Huh? Who beat? The Ravens. It was a close game. I think it ended up, 37-3, I think it was. But it was a close game, yeah. But it was a good game. It was a preseason game, okay? They're trying to get everybody lined up for everything, so. But we got in last night, and my wife told me, she said, Precious is sitting here and just worried. You know, she's just pacing the floor looking for you. I said, well, you tell her I'll see her when I get home tonight, all right? So I walked in the bedroom door there, and she was laying there at the door waiting for me, you know, waiting for me. So I took her out. She didn't do anything. She just wanted to go walk with her daddy. And I can't, you know, I can't blame her. I like to walk with me too, okay? But you know, I was thinking, that little dog was just laying there at the door waiting for her daddy to come get her and take her home, take her outside and walk with her. I thought, you know what, shouldn't we be like that with the Lord? Just waiting, looking and waiting for the Lord Jesus to come again. And what a day that is going to be. You look at the words of that song, there's coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. what a day that will be. And then it says on here, there'll be no sorrow there. No more burdens to bear. No more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day that will be. Amen. Oh, my goodness, what a day it's going to be. And you know, the lesson today is dealing with a few verses here that we oftentimes look at when we meet and we have to say goodbye to a loved one at a graveside, perhaps at the funeral home. We have to close that casket and we look at that loved one for the last time on this side of heaven, before one day we get to see them with that new body, the one that's not frail, that's not hurt by the age and the diseases of this day. And you know, one day we're going to get to see those folks again. And you and I today, as born-again Christians, We've got something to look forward to today, amen? We've got something to truly look forward to. We've got something that the world does not have, and that is called peace. Peace. Peace from God. Peace that passes all understanding. We've got a joy that the world does not have a clue about. They're looking for it. Man, they're trying to find something that will give them joy and satisfaction, but they're just not finding it. And I'm just thinking, you know, what a day that is going to be when we get to see the Lord. But you know what? While we're here on this earth, we've still got joy and peace in our hearts. And that's what Brother Paul was trying to teach these Thessalonian believers. They were living in a day that was very, very wicked. They had all kinds of perversions going on. The sexual perversion thing was a major thing in their city. The cultural perversions of doctrinal teachings and things like that was a distraction. And it was a persecution that they had to endure because they were now trusting Christ. They weren't trusting the things of this old world. They weren't trusting the false gods and pagan gods that they used to worship. They had turned away from those things. And somebody had even taught them that Jesus, you know, all this stuff, Him coming back, all this stuff had already happened. They had been left behind, all these other things. And you know what? Paul is teaching them, hey, listen, you don't worry about that. You just trust God, and I'm going to see you on down the road. One of these days, I remember telling my dad before he passed away and went into heaven, I told him, I said, Dad, I'll see you in the morning. And boy, what a morning that's going to be. Amen. What a morning that's going to be. When I started working on this lesson, that song, What a Day That Will Be, came to my mind. And a second song came to my mind. Man, I thought about the words of this song. We had a group of family members that used to sing this in the church where I went when I was a boy. And one of the daughters, one of the sisters that was in the group, she drowned unexpectedly in a pool. She was out swimming and got the cramps and nobody was out there with her. And she drowned. And the family sang this song. After she had passed away. And it said this, it said, I will meet you in the morning by the bright riverside when all sorrows have drifted away. I'll be standing at the portals when the gates open wide at the close of life's long, dreary day. And then the chorus sang this, it said, I'll meet you in the morning with a how do you do, and we'll sit down by the river and with rapture old acquaintance renew. You'll know me in the morning by the smile that I wear when I meet you in the morning in the city that's built four square. I'll meet you in the morning at the end of the way on the streets of that city of gold where we can all be together and be happy forever, while the years and the ages shall roll. I'll meet you in the morning in the sweet by and by and exchange the old cross for a crown. There'll be no disappointments and nobody shall die in the land when life's sun goeth down. And then it goes back into the chorus about how I'll meet you in the morning. And folks, we've got something worth living for today. But we've got something worth looking for tomorrow. Amen. If tomorrow never rises and we never see the morning light tomorrow, we're going to see the light that lighteth the way of the world. And it lit up my life one day when I met Him as my Savior. And you know, these Thessalonian believers, Paul wrote to them, and if you'll look in verse number 18, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, when he wrote this letter to them, he closed this part of the letter out by saying this. He said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And that's what I want to do for you this morning. I want to give you some comfort today in knowing that one day, one way or another, I'm going to see you down the road. Amen. We'll see each other once again. Now, I want you to go in this lesson. And I want you to see here, starting in verse number 13, I want you to again see Paul's concern for these believers. Paul had a desire for these folks to grow, to live for God, and to do what God had saved them to do. And as you look at this lesson, Paul's concern was that these believers know exactly what God's word had to say about the matter of what happens when a saint of God has to go home through death. There are many questions that had to come up. And you know, as a saint of God faces death, I want you to understand something today. Death has met the master. Amen. And the master is Jesus. And the only thing that death can do for you and for me today as born again children of God is just do like some of our ushers do here. He just opens the door and lets us leave this present physical world of sorrow and sickness and death and woe. And he just ushers us into eternity with our Savior. That's all death can do for you and me today as children of God. And Paul wanted these folks to understand that even though their hearts were grieved, and even though their hearts were burdened about the loss of a loved one, the loss of their friends, their family, Paul wanted them to understand that their grief, though great as it may be, still should not be as the lost world's grief. And those folks that have no hope, no joy, no assurance that their loved ones were with God. Folks, if we've got loved ones that leave this world and they enter into an eternity with God, boy, I tell you what, they're up there looking down at us and saying, man, you need to be here. You got to see this place. You just got to see the Savior. And they are longing for us to be there with them. Do we miss them? Yes, we do. We miss them greatly. I know many of you over the last year or so have lost some of your loved ones to death. You've lost those that cared so much for you and that you cared so much for them. But honey, I'm telling you today, we're going to see them again. And man, we can say to them, I'll see you in the morning. And boy, what a morning that's going to be. And Brother Paul here, he encouraged them. I want you to look at this verse number 13. He said to them these words. He wrote to them these words. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You see, our grieving as born-again believers, our grieving as children of God, should always turn out to be an opportunity to share the message of the gospel with those who do not yet know Christ as their Savior. I had someone come to me at one point and they said, we're already sad enough. Do you need to be talking about Jesus now at a time like this too? And I said, this is all the more reason I need to talk to you about Jesus. Listen, there's nothing more I can do for those that are gone, whether saved or whether they're lost. But honey, there's something I can do for you if you're not saved. And Paul wanted these folks to know, listen, this is the opportunity that God gives to us, not only to suffer through this time, but to point folks to the Savior so that they don't suffer as those who do not know Christ when that point in their life comes. And here, starting in verse number 13, Paul reminds them, he writes to remind these folks of the things that they already had been taught, the things that they already knew, but they just needed to be reminded of, that God is indeed faithful to His children. Amen? Thank God for His faithfulness to you and to me. And there was no need for them to sorrow, even as others which have no hope. Listen, it's a natural thing to sorrow for those that we lose to death. Listen, we love them. They loved us. And we're going to miss their physical presence with us. There's great sorrow in that fact. But folks, you listen to me today. If they were saved and you're saved, we're just saying goodbye for just a little while. Amen? It's just a little bit. And we're going to see them again in the morning. And I know that sometimes it seems like, boy, you're not going to be able to make it without them. But the sweet Holy Spirit of God is that comfort and that peace that we've got to have when death comes our way and we have to face that chilling hand of death. The sweet Holy Spirit, the great comforter that Jesus promised that we would have, He's the one that the world does not know about. And you know what? So many times, I truly believe this with all my heart. We say to ourselves, why, Lord, did you allow this to happen? Why did you take my loved one from me? But I truly believe that there are times that God allows these things to happen in our lives so that God can use this time that we might be a blessing to those who do not know Christ at that time. There are people that are sorrowing today. They have no hope. They have no peace whatsoever. And when death comes their way, they're thinking, man, what would I do if I were to die? I don't know. Where do I turn? And guess what? You come along and you are able to share with them the sorrow that you experience, yes, but the joy that you have, the peace that you have in knowing that one day you're going to get to see your loved one on down the road. That's what the lesson is about today. That's what it's about, to help us see the opportunities that God has afforded us as born-again children of God to help others come to know Christ as their Savior. Look at it here. Romans 8, verses 35 through 39. Our class theme verse is found within these passages. But I want you to look at it with me this morning. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. The Apostle Paul wrote there and he asked this question. He said, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are what? More than conquerors through Him that loved us. And then he writes these words. He said, for I am persuaded. In other words, I have no doubt about it. I know, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, what a blessing it is to know this fact. And you know, these folks, because of their former religious affiliations, and because of the pagan backgrounds that many of these folks had come out of, as well as all the many persecutions that they were facing from those folks from day to day, because of all the false teachers that were prevalent in their day, many of these young saints of God had become discouraged. They had become confused about what happens to those saints of God who died before us. And many had, evidently, according to the letter here that Paul is writing to them, they had not fully understood what Paul had already taught them about these things. So now in verses 14 and 15, we see not only Paul's concern, but we see Paul's confidence in God and in His divine purposes. Look at this with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. He said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. And then in verse 15, he writes these words. He said, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now I want you to look at this, verse 14. Paul once again reminds them of where their faith comes in. He said, for if we believe, if we believe, if we trust the Word of God, if we trust the Savior who has washed away our sins and promised unto us eternal life with Him in heaven one day. For if we believe, you see, their strength in the face of death and their hope and their joy through that time of grief, it was only going to come as a result of what they had been taught from the Word of God and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who would fulfill all of those promises. And folks, it's the same thing for you and me today. We have to trust God. We have to have faith in what God said is true. Does the flesh concern us? Yes, it does. The flesh says, oh, can it be? Can it be? And the saved soul that is within our bodies, our flesh, says, God said it, I believe it. Amen? And that's what we've got to do today. When those blind men over in the book of Matthew chapter 9, they came to Jesus and they asked him if he would give them their sight. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 28, Jesus looked at him and he said, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. And in verse 29 of that same chapter, the Bible said, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Paul expressed to these folks in his concern, and he expressed to them his confidence in God's word. And folks, that's where our confidence lies today. Why do you think the devil is doing everything he can do to take away the word of God from the schools, from the boys and girls? Listen, isn't it strange? They don't want us to give out Bibles in schools anymore. But every time you go to visit somebody to jail, the first thing they want us to do, can you bring these folks a Bible? You know what? If we'd take them a Bible in school, they wouldn't end up in jail needing a Bible. Folks, our confidence is in the Word of God today. And Paul wanted to express to them his confidence. Jesus said to his disciples when they were discouraged, and he had told them that he was getting ready to leave them. He had told them he was going away from them and he was going to be leaving them. They had been with him for some 3.5 years. But in John chapter 14, he looked at them and he said these words. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. What a promise that God gave unto us, not only to believe, but to put in action in our lives from day to day. And such a time as this, when death comes and reaches into the hearts and the lives of the very saints of God. Paul confirmed what he believed. He confirmed what he taught to those around him when he explained the message of the gospel. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5...
Incoming message.
Lord, send me a message. Amen. I think I'll turn that down. All right. The message is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul wrote to them and he said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you what? I declare unto you the gospel. The gospel which changes lives, which changes hearts, which changes the way that you look at things in this old world today. He said, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, what? According to the Scriptures. and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. Folks, this is the message of the gospel. And this is what changes the hearts and lives. So here in verse number 14, Paul confirms his confidence in the Lord and in what he had not only already done, but also in what he promised to do for those that were left behind here on this earth. And he said to them, he said, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Now I want you to notice something about this verse, that word sleep. I want you to notice here that word sleep. That word sleep signifies a temporary state of being, okay? It's just a temporary state of being. As the physical body of Jesus slept, okay, in a physical death for only 3 days and three nights, even so will the body of every believer sleep only temporarily in the grave. It's going to sleep. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean by sleep?" Well, Jesus used that term when he spoke about death. You remember the story about Lazarus? When Lazarus died, Jesus told his disciples there in John chapter 11, he said, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep." Blessed hearts. Then said the disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." They didn't understand that. They didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was looking at this thing as a temporary, just being out of sorts temporarily. It was a temporary thing. And folks, death is a temporary physical state of being. This old body is going to die. Listen, every one of us are going to face that one day. If the Lord Jesus tarries his coming, we're all going to have to face death one day. But you know what? We don't have to face it in fear. And even as the body of Jesus slept temporarily in the grave for 3 days and three nights in that tomb of Joseph, even so the body of all the saints of God, all the saints of God that die, who have died upon this earth, they're going to sleep in Jesus. But it's only a temporary thing. Because one day he's coming back again. Amen? And the Bible talks about that. So he goes on here in verse 15, and he said, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." In other words, those of us which are alive and remain when the Lord Jesus comes back, and we're still alive, we're living here on this earth, we're not going to keep those folks from being raised up from the dead. They're not going to stay behind here. Those bodies are not going to stay in the grave. Listen, I've told my wife, she asked me about where we're going to get buried at, and we hadn't picked a place yet. I'm hoping to cheat death, amen? Not worry about it. And I told her, I said, "Honey, when this old body dies, you can bury the shell anywhere you want to because the nut will be gone, amen?" But here's the thing. Listen, the believers still living here upon this earth are going up. You know, when we're taken out of this world, we're not going to prevent, or we're not going to precede the gathering up of those other jewels that have already been taken by death. We're going to meet them together in the air. Amen? We're going to meet them in the air. Listen, what a day that's going to be. I don't know what the new body is going to be like. I don't know what's going to happen with it. I don't understand all those things. But you know what? The Bible said here that Jesus has made us a promise. And he made a promise to these people. And Paul is stating here that the bodies of those folks that had died and gone on before us and before them that were left behind, they're not going to miss out on the rapture. They're not going to miss out on that. When the Lord raptures us out, he's taking us all out of here. And you know what? I feel sorry. I hope the guy that works the grave sites and has to mow the yards and everything out there, I hope he's saved, because if he's not, he's going to have a mess to clean up when the Lord does that. Boy, he's going to have a mess to clean up. Now, I want you to look at this. He verifies the details of all this in verses 16 and 17 by Christ's confirmation. Now, look at this. Verses 16 and 17, he said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now I want you to understand the details here that he's giving about the Lord's gathering up of his saints, okay? Whether they were physically dead or whether they were physically still alive and remaining on the earth, Paul sums it up in four little areas here. Number one, he said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God." Number two, he said this. He said, "And the dead in Christ shall rise first." Number three, he said, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." And then the real blessed part of this section, he says, number four, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Amen? Isn't that something? The Lord Jesus was seen ascending back up into heaven by some 500 people when he went back to heaven. And in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11, the Bible said this. He said, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly, okay, toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus," not another one, not an imposter, "but this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Listen, when Stephen was being stoned, he proclaimed there as they were rocking him to sleep, literally, he proclaimed that he saw the Son of God standing at the right hand of God. I think the Lord was standing there and giving him a standing ovation, saying, "Well done, Stephen. Well done. You stood. You've been faithful. You've stood to the end. God bless you." All through the Bible. Good to see you, Brother Mike. Thank you for coming today, brother. Many other scripture references talk about how that Jesus went into heaven and how that he has promised to come back again. And one day, the Bible said that he is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And I want you to look at this. There's going to be a shout referring to that word of supreme command. And God's Son is going to stand on the very presence of his glory. And he's going to stand out. I don't know what he's going to do. He's going to shout and say, "Hey, children." I don't know what he's going to do. But with a shout, with a supreme command, he's going to get our attention. And it's going to be so great that it's going to wake the dead. Amen? Well, that's better than trying to get my wife awake in the mornings. Amen. Listen, he's going to give a shout. And look at what it said. Not only is there going to be a shout, but there's also going to be heard the voice of the archangel. Okay? The voice of the archangel. And it's going to sound out a cry, a summons. It's going to be made. And look what the Bible said. Then third, the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and along with those things, there's going to be heard the trump of God. And as 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet's going to sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Amen? What a day that's going to be when my Jesus I shall see. Folks, Paul wanted to encourage these people. And I want you to understand today, you and I have some encouragement today. But I want you to look at his conclusion here. Look at what he said in the last verse. He said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What was Paul saying to them? Because of all that was about to happen, because of all that they were going through, the persecution, the trials, the heartaches, the grief that they were feeling in their hearts and their souls, he encouraged, he exhorted these believers to just keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're to do today, folks. We're to keep on keeping on for him. Why? Because Jesus is coming again. And this should bring comfort to our hearts and our souls. And that's why he wrote here, he said, comfort one another with these words. Folks, this is the need of the church today. We need to comfort one another through the Word of God. When each of us gets discouraged, and there are going to be times of discouragement. There are going to be times that we don't know what we're supposed to do. As the old song said, though the days be weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Why do we know that? Because we got his promise that one day the Lord himself shall indeed descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We oftentimes kid about that. I know a Methodist pastor, a Presbyterian pastor, and a Baptist pastor were all talking about this one day. And they were trying to decide which one of them was going to get up to heaven before the other one. And the Methodist said, oh yeah, I think I'm going to get there first. I'm a good person. The Presbyterian said, oh yeah, I think we're going to get there first because we have a good church. And the Baptist said, I think you're both going to get there before I do. He said, really? He said, yeah, and I got scripture to prove it. They said, really? You got scripture to prove that we're going to get there before you, the Baptist, soul-winning church pastor, is going to get there? He said, oh, yeah, I got proof. They said, what proof is it? He said, because the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first, and you're about as dead as it gets. Folks, listen, we can kid and we can joke, but listen, those that have gone before us, they're going to experience the joy of the rapture just like you and I are going to experience. And one day it's going to happen. And we're going to be called up together to meet the Lord in the air. And together, there, we're going to be with him. Never to leave again. Never to say goodbye to anything else again. There, we're going to be with the Lord forever. And what a day. What a day that's going to be. Amen. Thank God for that promise. Let me ask you this morning. Why do you think the Apostle Paul... Why do you think that he wrote these particular words to these Thessalonian believers? Why do you think he wrote these things? I thought about that question this week. Why would he write these words? And I really believe he wrote these words because, number one, he loved them. He loved them, and he wanted them to know what the truth was. He was concerned for their spiritual well-being just as much as he was their physical well-being. But he cared for their growth, and he cared for them in such a way that they would not give up when things get tough. And folks, I give you this lesson today to help you to trust God, to lean upon his word, so that when the times do get rough, you'll just keep on keeping on. And you can remember that one day we're going to see our loved ones once again. As we look up and we say to them, hey, dad, hey, husband, hey, wife, hey, loved one, I'm going to see you on down the road. I'm going to see you soon. And folks, it may be sooner than we've ever expected. Keep on keeping on for Jesus. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I know that today there are many heartaches, many trials, many burdens that go on in the hearts and the lives of the saints of God. But Lord, I pray that through the Word of God today that you would help our people to be encouraged in your Word. Lord, help us to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, that we might just keep on keeping on for you until that great day when you come and you call us home, whether by death or whether by that great shout that you give and we all rise to meet you in the air. Lord, help us, God, to be found faithful. Help us, Lord, to comfort one another with these words that we have today. God, we'll thank you for what you do. Lord, if there's anybody today that's listening to the sound of my voice that does not know you as their Savior, God, I pray, Lord, that you will draw them unto you. And today, by faith, they will call upon you and ask you to save them so that they can be with you one day in heaven as well. God, thank you for the precious Word of God, for the promises that you've given unto us. Help us now to leave this place and to comfort one another. And we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. We love you. Thank you for being in Sunday school today. God bless you.